Paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Wow, not bad when you didn't even have the verse, did you? Okay, there it is. That's going to be our focus this morning. Again, we're in the most popular psalm, Psalm 23. But don't look at this psalm as just something to recite by memory at a funeral service. This is a psalm about life. It's a narrative. It's a story about our life and how we are to live, how God would have us to live a good life, walking closely with our shepherd, Jehovah. Let's pray, and we'll take a closer look at verse 3. Father, thank you for this psalm. Lord, as we took a look at the story of those sheep and how the one shepherd bought the sheep, he redeemed that sheep and made her as his own and gave her a new name and loved her. I pray that we would take a look at this and see our good shepherd and what he has done for us. And if there's anybody in this place that has not been bought, they have not been redeemed, they don't belong to the good shepherd, I pray today, Lord, that you would reach your hand out to them, touch them, and may they see your goodness. May they come to you. May they follow you as their good shepherd. We ask these things in Jesus' name, and we say, amen. The first thing we're going to take a look at this morning is the first part, that is, he leads me. He leads me. As we come to this part, second part of verse 3, we see he leads me in the paths of righteousness. It doesn't say our shepherd drags us along the way. There's a difference between leading and dragging, isn't there? Absolutely. He doesn't drag us. Thus, sometimes we have to acknowledge as sheep, we may have a tendency to wander off a path, to wander from the way of our good shepherd where he's leading us. And that's something that we who have been believers for some time can acknowledge in humility, not in pride, but humility. Lord, help my wandering. There's an old song called Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. And the verse says, oh, to grace, how great a debtor. Daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart. Oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. So in such beautiful words, the song itself is humbly acknowledging to the Lord, there's this tendency to wander. It's not something I relish in or am proud of, but it's something I admit and confess and acknowledge. Lord, I need you to be my good shepherd. So yes, our shepherd leads us, but as sheep, what must we do? If our shepherd is leading us, we must follow closely. Follow him. Watch for him. Hear his voice. Each day of our lives, we are faced with decisions. Decisions come our way. Our shepherd is leading the way for us. He urges us, beckons us to follow him. But we must follow him obediently and closely. But each day we're faced with decisions. What do we do? I like the words of a famous proverb, Proverb 3, verse 5 and 6. Do we have that? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Say this out loud with me. You know it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. In all your ways acknowledge him. Trust in the Lord. Don't lean on your own understandings. Acknowledge him in everything. And he's going to be leading you, directing your paths. This is urging us to choose to follow him, to lean on him. And the implication of this verse, the implication here is you can not do these things as well. You can not trust the Lord. You can lean on your own understanding. You can do these things, but it leads you in a wrong path. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. I wish I could say, once you are a Christian, once you are truly born again, once you are redeemed and bought as a child of God, a sheep of His flock, I wish I could say that there is no longer a struggle in your life, no longer prone to wander, no longer a struggle with sin or with choosing wrong choices. But there is a struggle in this life. As long as we are in this life, there is going to be that constant tension and struggle. We want to follow our shepherd, our good shepherd. We want to choose to follow Him and to stay close to Him and acknowledge Him and let Him direct our paths. But at the same time, we struggle at times, don't we? I'm not looking for a show of hands, but in your heart, you know what I am saying. There is this struggle in our life, but I want to say that that in itself is also a good thing, because it is God who changed your heart, and you're no longer, as one of His flock, going to be content to head down the wrong path. And as you do, there's going to be this struggle and turmoil taking place inside, urging you to follow the shepherd, come back to Him. And that, my friends, is a good thing. We cannot be content in sin. God has changed our hearts. We no longer are a slave to sin, but we are free to serve Him. We are free to follow the good shepherd. So tomorrow, Monday morning, or even today when you leave this place, or before you even leave this place, there's going to be a whole lot of decisions that you're going to have to make. How will I respond to the fellow that's going to cut me off on the road? I can trust the Lord and follow His ways, or I can follow my own and allow anger to build up and frustration and bad thoughts that lead me to some wrong actions. What will I say to the difficult person in my life that comes up to me and freely offers their harsh criticism that is uninvited? What am I going to say? I can choose to trust in the Lord with all my heart, not lean on my own understanding, acknowledge Him, and allow Him to direct my paths, or I can go my way. How will I handle my teenagers at home, my wife, my husband, my parents, other relationships, things that come into my life, and there's going to be decisions. And you can trust on your own understanding and see where that's going to lead you yet again. Or you acknowledge Him, trust Him, follow the Good Shepherd. What about the bigger decisions? Bigger decisions. Perhaps you're saying, reacting to drivers on the road, and you know, that kind of stuff is small potatoes. That's not that big. That's not that important in my life. But first, I do want to say that even these small things, and learning to trust and lean on the Lord in these small things, is going to also be a determinant of the rest of your life as well. Trust Him with the small things. Lean on Him for the small things. And then when the big things come, you'll be more prepared for that as well. But what about the big things? Business decisions. Should I do this business venture, which is risky, or not? Where should I go to school? What should I study? Should I sell now or buy? Should I marry this person or not? And these are the bigger decisions and things that come into your life that you got to make a decision on. And you're going to have to determine, am I going to lean on my own understanding? Or am I going to trust in the Lord with all my heart and follow my good shepherd? He leads us, but we must follow Him. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. These issues, these things that come into our lives, they're huge for some, for sure. But make your focus the Lord in all things. Lord, above all else, I want my life to please you. I want to follow you. Seek him. Live for him. Do things his way. I watched a movie recently in which a character was asked, "Who is God?" And the reply given was, "You know, when you really want something bad, you pray and ask for it. Well, he's the guy who ignores you." That was the response. And while it's humorous, this is not what life is about. This is not what God is about. He's not that genie in the bottle that's there to take your demands and your wishes and give you what you have asked for. We have a severe lack of understanding if that's what we're thinking. The word acknowledge in Proverbs, in all your ways acknowledge him. The word acknowledge is literally to know well. To know well. Not know well, but to know well. To know well. To know God well. In all your ways, make your focus on knowing God well. Acknowledging him. The main thing is, God, I want a life that is lived pleasing to you and in your sight. And all these other things he will take care of as we make him the primary focus. He will make our path straight. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. This is the same principle. Okay, so the shepherd leads us, but we must follow. Remember the old chorus that simply had a few simple lines? Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Or is that the right tune? Sort of. Where he leads me, I will follow. I will follow. Follow him. I got it all wrong. But you remember the chorus. May this be our song. May this be our prayer, our heart. Lord, where you lead me, I will follow. The second thing we see is that phrase, paths of righteousness. Paths of righteousness. He leads me in paths of righteousness. That is the right paths. Paths that lead us to the best pastures that he's prepared for us. Paths that won't lead us to destruction. His paths are not always easy. And even on his paths, it doesn't mean that we're always kept away from all danger. But we can trust that he will be with us and he will lead us through these paths. You're following him in your life. You're on a path. Difficult times may come your way. Troubles, struggles, danger. But you can be assured that your shepherd is with you and he is leading you. Keep your eyes on him. Keep your focus on the shepherd. Matthew 7, verse 13, Jesus said this, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction." There's another path. And that path is a wide, smooth path. And there's a lot of people on it. And it's easy going, but it's going to lead to destruction. Verse 14, "Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." And there's another path, and that's the path that our shepherd is leading us on. And it's not always the easiest, but it is the path of righteousness. It is the right way. Our shepherd is with us, and he is leading us. There are plenty of paths to follow out there. Most people today would say, you know, the main thing is you follow the path that is best for you. And while that sounds loving and inclusive, It is not loving if you understand and realize what God is saying, that there are paths that lead to destruction. There are paths that lead to destruction. And if you know that, sometimes the most loving thing you can do is say, don't continue down this path. The Bible says there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. We see that in Proverbs 14. There is a way that seems right, but God says that way leads to death. So our hearts are deceived by our own selves, our own minds. We cannot trust them. We must trust God. We must trust our good shepherd. I know sometimes, for example, teenagers get tired of parents telling them off for things. Maybe they feel they are nagged at times. But sometimes parents see decisions that are being made, and they see where it may lead and where they are headed if they continue down a certain path, a certain way. And that's when we want to say, if we love them, where are you going? What are you doing? Why are you on this path? Don't continue on this path, because it's going to lead you the wrong way. It's going to lead you to destruction. Listen. Listen. We want to warn before they get there. Okay, let me give you three simple biblical aspects of righteousness. Righteousness. Are you ready for the first one? First one is this. No one is righteous. Right? No one is righteous. Only God is righteous. No one is righteous. Romans 3, verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have previously charged both Jews and Greeks that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. None righteous. None of us can say, I'm righteous. It mentions Jews and Greeks, and we understand that it's a common reference between the Jews and those who are not Jews. Greeks, Gentiles, sometimes used synonymously. But all the world, there are none righteous. So we can't claim righteousness. But the second thing about righteousness is Jesus, listen to this big word, imputes his righteousness to us. He imputes it. That's what the cross is all about. That's what salvation is all about, being born again. That's what it's all about. Jesus imputing, that is, accrediting, accounting it to us. Our account was in great debt. And we owed more than we could ever pay, but Jesus credited us our account, so we are no longer in debt anymore. That's what imputing righteousness means. None of us were righteous, but Jesus credited our account with righteousness. Romans 4, verse 24. The statement is made, it shall be imputed to us. And that it, by the way, is righteousness. This whole passage is referring to righteousness. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. So God imputes us with righteousness to those who have put their faith in Jesus. Simple. So there nobody is righteous. Jesus imputes us righteousness by his grace. And thirdly, the thing is, we are to pursue righteousness. Okay, so we realize no one is righteous. And if that was all there was no good news. We would just say, well, we've blown it. This is it. Let's enjoy the most we can out of this life, because after this, we're toast. We can focus on the second part. Jesus imputes his righteousness to us. Oh, great. So before God, I am now righteous. He gave me his righteousness so I can live how I want to in this world now. I don't have to do anything for the Lord. I don't have to live any differently than anybody else. And there are plenty of Christians in this world that are living in this way. But we also must remember this third aspect of righteousness is that we are to pursue it. Because we are declared righteous, because we belong to the Good Shepherd now, we are to pursue righteousness. 2 Timothy 2:22. Flee also youthful lusts. Flee it. Run away from it. But pursue righteousness. It is our Christian calling. That's our focus. Lord, I want to pursue righteousness. I want to run towards that instead of running towards sin. I want to live for you. I want to know you. Pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace. Not on your own either. Not just between you and God. That's important, don't get me wrong. But also with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Encourage each other in this pursuit of righteousness. We love each other and we help each other and hold each other accountable. Pursue righteousness. So we have a shepherd leading us on these paths of righteousness. He imputes his righteousness to us who are not righteous. And then we're to pursue righteousness with all of our heart. Why does the shepherd lead us on these paths? This leads us to our final point. For his name's sake. For his name's sake. Notice our shepherd leads us on the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Because of who he is. Because of his reputation. He will not lead us wrongly. He will not lead us to destruction. We can count on him. We can count on the Good Shepherd. The name of the Lord is important. His name is very important. Do a study through the scriptures and the references that are made to the name of the Lord. Deuteronomy 28:10, then all peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord. Psalm 8:1, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Psalm 29, verse 2, give unto the Lord the glory due to his name. Psalm 20, verse 7, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. We trust in his name. His name is who he is. His name is his reputation. His name is not to be taken lightly. If your name is not thought of well, that is not good, and that's a shame to us, isn't it? For example, if someone says, hey, Ken Young said this, but you know the Youngs, you can't really believe anything they say. Is that a good name? No, it's not. And if I heard that said, I would be crushed. I would be hurt. But when God makes a promise, you can count on him because of his name. He is God. There is none else beside him. There is none like him. His name is marvelous, is wonderful. He is perfect. He always keeps his promises. He will never let his name be tarnished. He has a name above all names. Romans 10:13 reminds us, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. What does this mean, to call on the name of the Lord? It isn't just referring to you're in trouble and you say, oh, God, help me. Maybe you've said something like that before. Lord, help me. This is not just calling out the name of God and saying, Lord, help me. It means, though, that you are coming to God as He has revealed Himself to us, the God of the Bible, Jehovah, the God of the Word, the God of Abraham and Moses, and the God of Elijah, the God of the Bible, the one true God who raised Jesus from the dead. And you come to Him in faith with His plan that He made when He came and said, I will give myself as a sacrifice for your sins. And you say, God, I need that. I trust in that. I ask you to save me and forgive me of all my sins. Make me one of your flock, and I will follow you as my good shepherd. You are calling on the name of the Lord. Have you called on the name of the Lord? Have you trusted in His name? My friends and my fellow sheep, I hope you understand better what David meant when he wrote the words so eloquently many, many years ago, He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Are you a part of His flock? Are you a part of His fold? Is He your shepherd? There is no better. There is no other way. Stand with me, please. Stand with me. If you would bow your heads and close your eyes for a time of reflection. We refer to this time as our invitation because we invite you to respond to God. Earlier we saw His word is powerful, it is sharp. And it His word is true, His word brings life. Through His word is eternal life. So what we're doing this morning is the most important thing we can as we open up the Word of God and apply it to our lives. Now it's your turn to respond to it. What will you do with the message you have heard? Is the Lord God the good shepherd? Is Jehovah your shepherd? With a show of hands, how many could say with confidence, praise the Lord, He is my shepherd. He is my shepherd. My friends, I see those hands. Follow Him. Follow Him. Yes, acknowledge the heart that may be prone to wander, but Lord, I want to follow You all the days of my life. And Lord, when I wander, use Your rod, use Your staff to correct me, to bring me back onto the path, back on that narrow path. But better to be on the narrow path, even with danger around us, than on the broad, wide path that leads to destruction. He leads us in paths of righteousness. My friends, are you pursuing righteousness? Or are you pursuing the world? What defines you the most? I've asked this before, but if for some reason you were arrested and you were charged with being a Christian, would the court have enough evidence to convict you of it? Would they? Would they be able to see it's obvious from all the evidence that this person is truly a Christian? Or would they say, we can't find any evidence of it. Case is dismissed. There's nothing in their life to indicate they are genuine believers. Is there anybody here who might at least acknowledge, just between you and God, listen, I'm not a believer. I've never trusted Jesus. I don't believe I've ever come to him in faith. I don't believe he is my shepherd. Is there anybody here that would say that, but say, Pastor, I'm concerned. Just pray for me on this. Pray for me. Raise your hand where you are. Raise your hand up. Amen. And just raise your hand if that's your testimony. Pray for me. I don't know. I don't believe that I am a true believer, a follower. But pray for me in this. My friends, whatever your need is, the Lord is here to meet that need. And I encourage you to respond to him at this invitation time. Father, Lord, I pray that you would do the work in people's hearts. Convict them, Lord. Draw them to you. For the believers who are part of your flock, I pray that they would be recommitted to pursue righteousness with all of their hearts, because you love them and you have imputed righteousness to them. You have made them righteous. You have made them worthy of your calling, not because of who they are, but because of your greatness and your mercy and your grace. So, Lord, I pray now that we would pursue righteousness with all that we have. So the next few moments, the invitation is open. Would you come? If you need to pray, this is what the invitation is for. If you need to talk with someone, this is the invitation time. Come, step forward where you are. Whatever your need is, God can meet that need. Come. We'll keep this invitation open for just a few minutes. Don't wait. Don't wait. So, Lord, we come before you again. Lord, I pray that you be with those who are not truly part of your flock. God, I just ask you, I ask you humbly that, Lord, would you do something in their heart? Break down the barriers, melt the heart. Change the heart. But God, do a gracious work in them. Lord, I pray that we, your followers, would be a people that is pursuing you and pursuing righteousness. I pray that people will see us and say, wow, God is good and he is doing something in them. I pray, Lord, that they would see you in us. Lord, help us not to bring a bad reputation to the name of Jesus, to the name of our God. Thank you, Lord, for your word to us this morning. Thank you for this psalm. In Jesus' name, amen. Please take a seat. We have a few announcements before we're dismissed.